This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840. Now, back to more Trivia Friday.
Hey, we want to thank everybody who called in and made a donation during our AFR Share-a-thon. That was this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we want to praise the Lord God.
Amen.
He did it again.
for using his people to provide for our needs.
Amen.
So everybody who gave a donation, whatever the size of the donation, doesn't matter. The main thing is that you trusted us and believed in us enough to support the ministry of American Family Radio. All right, so it's Trivia Friday here, and when last we took a break, Adeline from Horn Lake, Mississippi, was about to ask us a question. Go ahead, Adeline.
Okay, who suggested that Joseph interpret the dreams of Pharaoh?
All right, we're going to talk amongst ourselves, Adeline, so don't say yay or nay yet. Was it the cupbearer or the baker or something?
The one that was released.
Yeah, and I can't remember. I get them confused.
I do get them mixed up, too. you say one, I'll say the other.
All right, I'm going to say the cupbearer.
I'll say the baker.
I think it was
the candlestick maker?
In the kitchen. Right?
Yeah, with the rolling pin.
Yes.
All right, who's right, Adeline?
It was the cupbearer.
Way to go, Ed.
It was just, I guess.
But it was one of those two.
I had to flip a coin.
What's the 30-second version of that?
Remember, he was released, and he had forgotten all about Joseph, even though he told him he wouldn't, forget him. And then he was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
is this guy back. I met in prison.
Which one of them was that Joseph was interpreting dreams for, and one of them said, hey, you interpreted his, interpret mine. And then he said, yeah, you're gonna be gutted and hung from a tree or like that. What was that about? Remember that? You know what I'm talking about?
Was it the cupbearer he forgot?
Yeah, he forgot, yeah.
But, I mean, why do you tell somebody that?
Well, if the Lord tells you to say it.
Well, that's a good reason.
You got to
say
it.
But, I mean, I think was it the cupbearer?
I think so.
I think he regretted asking that question. That's probably like, you know what? I didn't need to know all that.
I'd rather not know.
I'd rather not know. I thought I wanted to know, but I don't really want to know.
Leave off the details.
You have a nice day.
Yeah.
Hey,
anyway,
Adeline.
Thank you, Adeline.
Adeline, before we let you go, did Cindy Roberts get your information for the hat?
She did.
Okay.
She did. We're so excited. Thank you. We enjoy y'all so much listening to y'all. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Adeline. Appreciate it. That's Adeline calling from Horn Lake in Mississippi. Next up, Bert.
Teresa from Kansas. Teresa, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah. What part of Kansas are you from?
Hutchinson.
Oh, man. Basketball area there. Isn't that where they have the junior college?
That's all of Kansas.
Championship. Okay. Yeah, it is true.
It is like Kentucky.
Hutchinson is Mennonite country, right?
Yeah.
Am I right? Because we have a lot of friends there in that part of the country and that part of the state.
Yeah.
And anyway, go ahead, Teresa. Ask, answer, or both?
Both, please.
Okay, which one do you want to answer?
The one about Warren's uncle.
Okay. Here it is.
Who's up? Warren,
by the way, Brother Bert, you draw the Andy Griffith fans out of the woodwork.
Right.
That's great.
Y'all need to have some kind of festival somewhere.
Listen, they do in Mayberry. In Mount Airy, they have Mayberry Day.
They have it?
Okay. Yeah, man. Okay. Warren Ferguson was the deputy of Mayberry that took the place of Barney Fife. What citizen of Mayberry was his uncle?
Floyd.
Woo! That is exactly right.
Uncle Floyd? Floyd the barber?
That is Floyd the barber. And
you talk about a guy that just brought so much energy and personality to every episode. That was Floyd by the barber. That guy, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He kind of stole the show
One of the episodes is they're going to have Mayberry Day.
Yeah.
And Barney is going to have extra deputies,
Yeah.
And he's swearing them in.
That's
if I remember right, it took 27 takes for Barney to complete that scene, because every time he got to Floyd, he'd start laughing.
Yes.
It was a, if it's not 27, it's a big number. Floyd, he just
made,
man,
yeah,
he just
there was
nailed
it. Maybe that episode, he comes back. There's something going on. I think that might be the episode where the guy is stealing from the town or whatever, and he's the one that they
honoring.
And Barney and Andy are trying to decide what to do, because he's the guy we're honoring, and I think he's robbing the town. And Floyd pops his head back in, and he says, "Everything is okay in Mayberry," and shuts the door. And to this day, my wife and I, every once in a while, she'll say, "You know, how things going at work?" And I'll say, "Everything is okay in Mayberry."
Way to go, Teresa. That is an awesome show. Hey, you have a question for us, and is it about Mayberry?
No, it isn't, and it's more of a joke than a question, but why is 6 scared of 7?
Why is 6 scared of 7? Because
Brent knows
7, 8, 9?
Yes.
I got a riddle.
You got it.
I got a riddle right.
Congratulations. Way to go, Ed.
Because 7, 8, 9. Okay, that's pretty good, actually.
Way to go, Teresa. You got a laugh out of all of us here.
Thank you, Teresa. You have a great day there in Hutchinson, Kansas. All right, you're listening to Trivia Friday. And I just have one question left.
Do we want to reset one last time?
For the last time on the show today.
I have three remaining. If your body makes the sound of Bohr Brigmas, what is happening? Second question, what NCAA basketball head coach holds the record for most career wins? I will give a hint. This is a women's coach.
Okay.
It's not a woman. It's a guy. A man who coached a woman's team. So that might be a little bit of a hint. We're getting towards the end of the show. And then, what is the only letter in the English language that is never silent?
Wow. Okay, I've got two. Who was the only pitcher to throw a perfect game in the World Series? And second one, what is the name of a group of skunks? They have a particular name, and it's pretty descriptive, I'll put it that way.
Okay.
So it's not a bunch.
It's not a bunch. Not a bunch.
Okay. My only question I have left is, the first vaccine in human history was developed in the year 1796 for which disease? As we said earlier, this was in the annals of human history. This is a big deal. This is probably top 20 most influential events in human history right
now. It is.
And I personally, I'm shocked that you only have one question left. Usually you just, you have.
I come in with four. I came in with four, I should say, and three of them have been answered.
I'm teasing you about the fact that you do not toss unnecessary questions out there.
No, I don't, because I work too hard for these questions.
Okay.
Studying what Ed calls at their internet.
At their internet.
It has it. Hey, Mickey from Michigan, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
What part of Michigan? You're in the Upper Peninsula, or are you on the lower part?
I'm in the lower part.
Okay. Well, great. Do you want to answer, ask, or both?
I would like to do both.
Which question that we have left do you want to answer?
I would like to answer the one on vaccines.
All right. Let me finish writing what I'm writing down here, and then we'll get to your question here. All right. So the question that Mickey from where'd you say in Michigan? Where?
I'm from Grant. I'm north of Grand Rapids, about 30 miles.
Fremont, that area?
Yeah. Yep.
So here we go. The question is, that Mickey's going to answer, is the first vaccine in human history was developed in the year 1796 for which disease? What's the answer, Mickey?
That was developed for smallpox.
Woo! Yes, way to go. It was. Now, do you know the story behind that?
No. Tell me.
Okay. Smallpox was just a worldwide menace, okay? And it, if you got it, I think one out of three people died at the time, and other people were left, you know, with chronic health issues, even, you know, something disfigured, some things of that nature. But there was a gentleman by the name of Edward Jenner, J-E-N-N-E-R. He was an English doctor, a surgeon, and scientist, which I would have been had I not been doing this today. But, you know, God takes us in different directions.
Yes, that's right.
And he pioneered the concept of vaccines and created the world's first successful vaccine against smallpox. Just, I'll give you the short version. He injected a kid with cowpox. I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to be funny. It's something called cowpox, which he suspected because of people had been. First, it was an old wives' tale. Then he tested it, and cowpox was able to prevent. And then he injected the same person later with smallpox. Sounds cruel. Sounds like he's treating a human like a mice. But I don't.
They had no other way, really.
Yeah, no other way. But the guy, the kid that they injected this with, survived. It didn't get was unaffected by smallpox.
The body developed an immunity.
Yes.
to the family of pox.
Yes, right. It's pretty amazing. If you want to read it for yourself, just type in Edward Jenner, J-E-N-N-E-R. Don't do Bruce now. Okay. He didn't invent squat.
Okay. Although he could do squats.
At one time.
And when he was in the Olympics. Yeah,
but anyway,
Bruce Jenner.
Edward Jenner, but this affected the world history because
really
smallpox was all around the globe, and it's considered today non-existent.
Now, am I right in saying that this theory of how to fight against smallpox,
yes,
was scaring people? And John Adams, who one of our founding fathers, actually decided to try it to get people to
convince them that
yes,
that it was safe.
Am I right about that?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I do know. In reading about this, people thought they didn't want the cowpox because they thought it was going to turn them into a cow.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I don't think I'd have been one of those people.
Well, how he noticed that was milkmaids were not getting smallpox. And because,
really?
Yeah, the milkmaids milking the cows, that's who did it mainly back then.
Right.
They did not get smallpox, and he had observed that, and he saw what they had was what is called cowpox, and he put two together. And there is an old movie about that. I don't remember the name. I remember seeing it way back there. I wrote it down, so I like to watch old movies, so I'm going to see
if I
can find that.
It's a pretty fascinating story, but smallpox... Is that what we got in our arm when we were kids?
That's polio.
Polio, yeah.
For us, it was polio in my generation.
Well, I just remember in 1969 or 70 or 71 going into the library at school and getting punched in the arm. So I forgot, what was that for? That wasn't for polio.
Measles and rubella.
Maybe that's what it was.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry to keep you holding there, Mickey. Anything else you want to say about that?
I just think I always learn something from you guys. So make a difference in my life, but it's always interesting.
Well,
it makes a difference in ours, Mickey.
I'm not sure.
Hey, Mickey, see if you can make a difference in ours by asking your question.
Yeah. There you go.
See that segue Bert did? Now spell segue, Bert.
Go ahead, Mickey.
Okay. Daniel Frank Gerber was the first to manufacture baby food in 1927. And where in Michigan did he do that?
Since she's close to Grand Rapids.
Wait, hold on. Gerber Foods?
Yeah, Gerber Foods.
I've been there. Yeah. Went right by the factory when I was in Fremont.
It's not going to be like Battle Creek or anything.
That's Kellogg's.
That's Kellogg's. Bert knows Kellogg's.
But I'm wondering if
it all right,
was
Mickey, did I get it right?
Because it was a cereal.
You got it right.
I got it right.
Fremont.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, man. I said Fremont.
Yeah,
Fremont.
Look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me. Because I'm the one who got that answer right. Tell. So, yeah. So
I'm back to Michigan.
Yeah, Fremont. That's the baby food capital of the world, right there.
Gerber, the Gerber baby.
Yeah.
Huh? Gerber baby. She's grown up now.
The Gerber baby.
Yeah, she's grown up.
All right, Mickey. Thanks so much. Appreciate hearing from you there from the great state of Michigan. And we go next where
Trent in Alabama. Trent, thank you for calling.
Okay.
Thank you, Trent.
What part of Alabama, Trent?
From Fayette, Alabama, just north of Tuscaloosa.
I've been there. Know where that is.
We're Northport.
Yeah, north of Northport. Fayette County, too, in Fayette.
43.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, do you want to answer or ask, Trent?
Or both.
Or both.
I'll do both.
Okay. Hey, I limited them, didn't I? Go ahead. Which question?
Well, the question I want to answer is the only one you gave a hint, so I think it's the mystery question. The most winningest NCAA basketball coach is Gino Arima.
From what school? Do you know?
UConn.
UConn.
Yeah, way to go. Way to go.
That is not the mystery question.
Yeah. That's all I had it.
But well, if you can name, I tell you what, Trent. If you can name the men's coach with the most wins in history,
Coach
we'll send you,
man.
Coach K.
That's Mike. Coach K.
Is that right?
It is, Chris. Okay, Krzyzewski.
There you go, Krzyzewski. We're gonna take
that was the trick question you are trying to throw on.
Now, what I'm gonna say, since you answered Mike Krzyzewski, we're gonna send you the ball cap, Trent. But there's a caveat here. If you can't spell Krzyzewski, then we're going to take his hat back. We're never going to send it to you. So can you give that a shot?
I'd give it a try.
Go.
All right. K like kike. And then we got R-Z-Y-Z-E-W-S-K-I.
That is right on the money.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, Trent, I don't care what they say about you people in Alabama. You can spell.
Listen,
that's remarkable.
We people in Mississippi shouldn't be saying anything about those people in Alabama.
You don't think they talk about us?
I'm sure they do.
Huh?
I'm sure they do.
Oh, they're uppity over there.
It's this little corner of Alabama, Mississippi, right. Arkansas, Louisiana. There's a corner of that? Well, I'm just saying that little section, we fight like cats and dogs over who's worse than whom.
Right.
I'm just glad Arkansas it makes us look good.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, that was – Bert, you shouldn't have said that.
I shouldn't have.
That was
offensive. It's only – yeah.
Well, we're going to send you – Trent, we're going to send you a ball cap, my friend.
So I know you've got a question for
awesome.
Us.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But when we're through on the air with you after you've asked your question, I'm going to put you on hold and we'll get your information. And we'll send you a hat. I'm stunned that you could spell Coach K's name.
Just like that.
I had to look it up, you know, when I and so that's I'm blown away. So good on you. What's your question for us, Trent?
Do you guys know where the first 911 call was made in the United States?
First
911 call.
Where?
South side of Chicago.
No, that's the most recent.
Close. It was made in Haleyville, Alabama.
Really?
Really?
What's the story there?
Yeah. I don't know the story behind it, but it was made in 1968. It's on a sign when you go in and out of Haleyville on the first 911 call.
Huh. Well, I guess every town's got to have its claim to fame. Now, that's pretty desperate, going deep, right there. Yeah.
That's pretty
in desperate. Haleyville. So they don't have a famous citizen from Haleyville, Alabama, maybe?
I don't know. They got that, and they got the chicken chain Guthries. That's all I know they got going on up there.
That's a bluegrass group.
The what?
Right there, chicken. The chicken grain Guthries. They're pretty good. I've seen them in concert before. Thank you very much, Trent.
Hey, put you on hold. Hang on. We'll get you information and send you an AFR ball cap.
They opened for Journey.
Jimmy Carter's brother, Billy, wasn't he from Haleyville? or lived in Taylorsville?
I don't know. He wouldn't be from Georgia.
Well, he was originally, but he moved to Haleyville, I think. Hey, we'll find out one of these days. Yeah, okay. I think that's right.
Haleyville. All right, so you're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Bert. J.J. Jasper is running from the law. So he's out there.
He's in that state across the Mississippi River.
He's in Arkansas. Yeah,
that's it.
Who's up next, Bert?
Okay, speaking of Mississippi, it is Mark from Mississippi. Go ahead, Mark. Where are you from?
Oh, I live in Ryansey, Mississippi.
Oh, man, right up the road.
Bert grew up by you, right?
Yeah, man, I'm just south of there.
I'm not from here. I'm a truck driver.
I got you.
Okay.
Where's home, though?
I've lived all over the world. I was military and everything.
Okay.
Oh, wow. So you have, man. Came
home. I got you.
All right, Mark, hang on for 1 second. I got a tip of the hat to Brother Bert. Billy Carter in 1981 was forced to sell his Plains, Georgia properties to pay taxes and debts and moved to Haleyville, Alabama.
I thought I
where he worked
that.
In sales for Tidwell Industries.
Yeah.
I am always in awe of you, brother, but never more than right
another
now.
Another moment in deep South history brought to you by Ed Tagnon
and Bert Harper.
Well, it's up there, but sometimes it doesn't come through. It's up there.
All right, back to Mark. I'm sorry.
All right. I want to answer the question about who pitched the perfect game in the
World Series. Okay, I've been waiting on this one. I love baseball this time of year. Okay,
playoffs.
Here it is. Who was the only pitcher?
Don Martin.
That's it.
That's a
mystery question.
Yeah,
it is.
Wow.
Hey, do you know who he is pitching against? He was a Yankee, of course. Who is he pitching against?
Man.
Okay, think about New York and the other team in New York besides the Giants.
Yeah, it was the Dodgers.
Dodgers, Game 5, October the 8th, 1956, and Yogi Berra was the catcher. Okay.
Hey, Mark, if you turn that truck around, you're about 30 minutes from us, and we'll just hand you the hat as you drive by.
Hey.
No, I want to forward the hat to somebody else.
Oh, do you? Okay. All right, we'll pass.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that, Mark.
I don't think
I've been wanting one.
We'll do that next week.
And I want to ask a question.
Go ahead, man.
Go right ahead. Now, Mark, we are almost out of time, so we got to do this kind of quick.
Okay, we're going to do it quick. You know Michael Nesmith from the Monkees?
Yes.
Wool hat.
Okay. His mom invented something
white
is still today.
White ink.
Oh, the
whiteout.
Whiteout?
Yeah.
Yep.
Man.
White out.
You guys did good.
Well, we surprised some folks.
No, it wasn't a wee thing.
Hey.
Right there. That was all me.
Thank you, Mark.
Sorry, Mark,
rush you.
I don't mean to brag.
I want to know what that sound is. You guys are trying to steal some glory.
We got to give our answers. If your body makes the sound of Borborygmus, what is happening? Your stomach is growling.
Okay.
And the only letter in the English language that is never silent, the letter V, as in Vitagliano. That makes sense.
A group of skunks is called a stench.
A stench.
A stench of skunks?
A stench of skunks.
Wow. How appropriate. All right, we are out of time. We thank you for yours. Appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. You have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you back here on Monday.